Yo, here we are. Let us bow down before the Lord God, our Maker. Let's get intimate, yo. Let's worship Him.
Cast down my crown to worship you in spirit and truth. As I see you on the throne, I see your train fills the roof. I'm on bended knees, hands extended, closed eyes. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord the Most High. What with me? I'm a man with unclean lips. And I live amongst the people who's on the same trip. There was Sarah flew to me with coal in his hands. He touched me on my lips, said I was a brand new man. As the foundation shook, he's asking, who shall he send? I said, send me, Lord. I'll commit to faithful men. Sometimes, Lord, I feel like I don't give you enough to count a pure joy, to persevere when times get tough. So I keep a concentrated relationship fixed on you. I keep my eyes to the hills so I can have a right view. I stand in awe of you, how you measure the earth with the palm of your hand. And yet and still you want to be friends with such an unclean man. So like John, I fall prostrate on this island of life. I worship you, recognizing you with power and might. Glory and light, eternal in sight, blameless and right. Creator of life, thief in the night, Jesus the Christ.
I see the Lord seated on the
my head, divine works all around me. I can't get past the evidence. The fact that you're invisible to me is irrelevant. I know your heaven sent straight to the virgin birth. Gave me a second chance even after man's curse. A third, a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth. You wore my crown of thorns. You took my licks as they spit in your face. Off the cross of sin and you embraced. Now I understand what's the meaning of grace. I war against the flesh, can't wait till the day that you come. Cause every day I'm rewriting Psalm 51. From the weak to the dumb, you make us shine like pearls. Got a new engagement, broke up with that girl named World. The relationship wasn't fruitful, I was Satan's pupil. They told me you was an unfair God, I believe those lies. I know the truth now, cause you've been fair since creation. Man failing and you gave man emancipation. I know the saying, one sin can make man fall. But with one drop of blood, he can save us all. I'm a living sacrifice, I lay my life upon the altar. I pray to have faith that don't forsake you like a martyr. I have a desire, that's to know you more. I have no choice to live holy, cause I see the Lord.
Full of his glory, and the foundations of the threshold tremble at the voice of him who called out. While the temple was filled with smoke, I said to myself, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I'm a man with unclean lips, and I live amongst the people with unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one seraphim flew to me with burning coals in his hands. He touched me on my lips, said, my iniquity is taken away, and my sins forgiven. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio family and Running for Christ Ministries family. And welcome again to a Blog Talk Radio Bible Reading Class. I am your teacher for this evening. My name is Deacon Oliver Welch. And we ask that you invite friends, family, and working associates to come and join us every Wednesday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. for Bible reading class. And Bible reading class is brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, our church of teaching, learning, and doing. This evening, we'll be doing Isaiah chapters 46 to 50, and we'll be listening to the scriptures and answering the questions after listening to it. Now, to get access to the questions, go to our website, and that is rfcm.org. Click on that. Click on the tab in the top right-hand corner and look up Bible Reading Class questions. And to answer the questions, you need to click 1 on your phone, and that will open up the hostess queue so you can answer questions after the reading. And there's a few little rules that we have to go along with that. And it goes like this. When you are getting ready to answer questions or giving a comment, make sure there's no background noises in the background. So if you're not answering a question, go ahead and hit your mute button on your phone. And when you're not answering, and then unmute it when you're ready to answer the questions and comments. And before we get ready to start our listening and answering questions, we're going to say a little prayer today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this glorious day. We just thank you, Father, for another day of life. We thank you, Father, for your love, your mercy, and undeserved kindness. Most of all, we just thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we just ask that our ears and our minds and our heart and our spirit is wide open so we get all this information that's read to us and to the best of our abilities answer these questions. So that way we give you glory to your name, Father. In your Son's name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Now, we're going to turn it over to the listening portion of this program here. And after that, we'll be ready to answer the questions. So I will see you on the other side after the reading process is over. Talk to you then. Take it away, Pastor.
Isaiah 46. Bel bows down. Nebo stoops low. Their idols are borne by beasts of burden, the images that are carried about are burdensome, a burden for the weary. They stoop and bow down together, unable to rescue the burden, they themselves go off into captivity. Listen to me, you descendants of Jacob, all the remnant of the people of Israel, you whom I have upheld since your birth and have carried since you were born. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. With whom will you compare me or count me equal? To whom will you liken me that we may be compared? Some pour out gold from their bags and weigh out silver on the scales. They hire a goldsmith to make it into a god, and they bow down and worship it. They lift it to their shoulders and carry it. They set it up in its place, and there it stands. from that spot, it cannot move. Even though someone cries out to it, it cannot answer. It cannot save them from their troubles. Remember this. Keep it in mind. Take it to heart, you rebels. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east I summon a bird of prey. From a far-off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that I will bring about. What I have planned, that I will do. Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted, you who are now far from my righteousness. I am bringing my righteousness near. It is not far away. And my salvation will not be delayed. I will grant salvation to Zion, my splendor to Israel. Isaiah 47. Go down, sit in the dust, virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground without a throne, queen city of the Babylonians. No more will you be called tender or delicate. Take millstones and grind flour. Take off your veil, lift up your skirts, bare your legs, and wade through the streams. Your nakedness will be exposed and your shame uncovered. I will take vengeance. I will spare no one. Our Redeemer, the Lord Almighty, is his name. He is the Holy One of Israel. Sit in silence. Go into darkness, Queen City of the Babylonians. No more will you be called Queen of Kingdoms. I was angry with my people and desecrated my inheritance. I gave them into your hand, and you showed them no mercy. Even on the aged, you laid a very heavy yoke. You said, I am forever the eternal queen. But you did not consider these things or reflect on what might happen. Now then, listen, you lover of pleasure, lounging in your security and saying to yourself, I am, and there is none besides me. I will never be a widow or suffer the loss of children. Both of these will overtake you in a moment, on a single day. Loss of children and widowhood. They will come upon you in full measure, in spite of your many sorceries and all your potent spells. You have trusted in your wickedness and have said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and knowledge mislead you. When you say to yourself, I am, and there is none besides me, disaster will come upon you, and you will not know how to conjure it away. A calamity will fall upon you that you cannot ward off with a ransom. A catastrophe you cannot foresee will suddenly come upon you. Keep on, then, with your magic spells and with your many sorceries which you have labored at since childhood. Perhaps you will succeed. Perhaps you will cause terror. All the counsel you have received has only worn you out. Let your astrologers come forward, those stargazers who make predictions month by month. Let them save you from what is coming upon you. Surely they are like stubble. The fire will burn them up. They cannot even save themselves from the power of the flame. These are not coals for warmth. This is not a fire to sit by. That is all they are to you. These you have dealt with and labored with since childhood. All of them go on in their error. There is not one that can save you. Isaiah 48. Listen to this, you descendants of Jacob, you who are called by the name of Israel and come from the line of Judah, you who take oaths in the name of the Lord and invoke the God of Israel, but not in truth or righteousness, you who call yourselves citizens of the holy city and claim to rely on the God of Israel, the Lord Almighty is his name. I foretold the former things long ago. My mouth announced them, and I made them known. Then suddenly I acted, and they came to pass. For I knew how stubborn you were. Your neck muscles were iron, your forehead was bronze. Therefore I told you these things long ago. Before they happened, I announced them to you, so that you could not say, my images brought them about. My wooden image and metal god ordained them. You have heard these things. Look at them all. Will you not admit them? From now now on I will tell you of new things, of hidden things unknown to you. They are created now, and not long ago. You have not heard of them before today, so you cannot say, yes, I knew of them. You have neither heard nor understood. From of old your ears have not been open. Well do I know how treacherous you are. You were called a rebel from birth. For my own name's sake, I delay my wrath. For the sake of my praise, I hold it back from you, so as not to destroy you completely. See, I have refined you, though not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, for my own sake, I do this. How can I let myself be defamed? I will not yield my glory to another. Listen to me, Jacob, Israel, whom I have called. I am he. I am the first, and I am the last. My own hand laid the foundations of the earth, and my right hand spread out the heavens. When I summon them, they all stand up together. Come together, all of you, and listen. Which of the idols has foretold these things? The Lord's chosen ally will carry out his purpose against Babylon. His arm will be against the Babylonians. I, even I, have spoken. Yes, I have called him. I will bring him, and he will succeed in his mission. Come near me and listen to this. From the first announcement, I have not spoken in secret. At the time it happens, I am there. And now the Sovereign Lord has sent me, endowed with his Spirit. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your well-being like the waves of the sea. Your descendants would have been like the sand, your children like its numberless grains. Their name would never be blotted out nor destroyed from before me. Leave Babylon, flee from the Babylonians. Announce this with shouts of joy and proclaim it. Send it out to the ends of the earth. Say, the Lord has redeemed his servant, Jacob. They did not thirst when he led them through the deserts. He made water flow for them from the rock. He split the rock, and water gushed out. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. Isaiah 49. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, he has spoken my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor. But I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing at all. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God. And now the Lord says, he who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. He says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers. Kings will see you and stand up. Princes will see and bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. This is what the Lord says. In the time of my favor, I will answer you, and in the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people, to restore the land and to reassign its desolate inheritances, to say to the captives, come out, and to those in darkness, be free. They will feed beside the roads and find pasture on every barren hill. They will neither hunger nor thirst, nor will the desert heat or the sun beat down on them. He who has compassion on them will guide them and lead them beside springs of water. I will turn all my mountains into roads, and my highways will be raised up. See, they will come from afar, some from the north, some from the west, some from the region of Aswan. Shout for joy, you heavens. Rejoice, you earth. Burst into song, you mountains. For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has borne? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Your children hasten back, and those who laid you waste depart from you. Lift up your eyes and look around. All your children gather and come to you. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, you will wear them all as ornaments. You will put them on like a bride. Though you were ruined and made desolate, and your land laid waste, now you will be too small for your people, and those who devoured you will be far away. The children born during your bereavement will yet say in your hearing, this place is too small for us. Give us more space to live in. Then you will say in your heart, who bore me these? I was bereaved and barren. I was exiled and rejected. Who brought these up? I was left all alone. But these, where have they come from? This is what the Sovereign Lord says. See, I will beckon to the nations. I will lift up my banner to the peoples. They will bring your sons in their arms and carry your daughters on their hips. Kings will be your foster fathers, and their queens your nursing mothers. They will bow down before you with their faces to the ground. They will lick the dust at your feet. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed. Can plunder be taken from warriors, or captives be rescued from the fierce? But this is what the Lord says. Yes, captives will be taken from warriors, and plunder retrieved from the fierce. I will contend with those who contend with you, and your children I will save. I will make your oppressors eat their own flesh. They will be drunk on their own blood as with wine. Then all mankind will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior, your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Isaiah 50. This is what the Lord says. Where is your mother's certificate of divorce with which I sent her away? Or to which of my creditors did I sell you? Because of your sins you were sold. Because of your transgressions your mother was sent away. When I came, why was there no one? When I called, why was there no one to answer? Was my arm too short to deliver you? Do I lack the strength to rescue you? By a mere rebuke I dry up the sea. I turn rivers into a desert. Their fish rot for lack of water and die of thirst. I clothe the heavens with darkness and make sackcloth its covering. The Sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. The Sovereign Lord has opened my ears. I have not been rebellious. I have not turned away. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the Sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore have I set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the Sovereign Lord who helps me, who will condemn me. They will all wear out like a garment. The moths will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant? Let the one who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on their God. But now, all you who light fires and provide yourselves with flaming torches, go, walk in the light of your fires and of the torches you have set ablaze. This is what you shall receive from my hand. You will lie down in torment.
All right. And that finishes up the reading part of Isaiah 46 through 50. And now it's time for us to answer these questions. Question number one. Who is asking Israel, parentheses, Jacob, about themselves and the care and love that's given?
I have good evening to you as well, to everyone. I have 46. I have verses 3 and 4.
Okay. I've got verses 3 and 4. Any other answers? If not, Deacon Reed, would you read that for us, please?
I sure will. Listen to me, descendants of Jacob, all who remain in Israel. I have cared for you since you were born. Yes, I carried you before you were born. I will be your God throughout your lifetime until your hair is white with age. I made you, and I will care for you, and I will carry you along and save you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Any other answers? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying good evening to the young lady that spoke.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, sir. Appreciate
that. Yes, yes.
That's all right. Okay. Okay. Do me a favor. Would you read the footnotes 46, 1 through 4? And that gives
yes,
a good
sir.
Explanation. Thank you.
Yes. That's what Pastor was talking about last about Cyrus. Anyway. Cyrus would carry out God's judgment against Babylon. Baal was the chief deity for the Babylonians. Nebo was the god of science and learning. These gods, however, needed animals and people to carry them around and could not even save themselves from being taken into captivity. They had no power at all. In contrast, our God created us and cared for us. His love is so enduring that he will care for us throughout our lifetime and even through death. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
Are there any comments on that first question? And if there isn't, question number two. How's the breakdown compared to me, and what's explained?
Okay.
I got 46 verses 8 through 11.
Ooh.
Okay, 8 through 11.
I have 5 through 7.
I'll take 5 to 11.
Okay.
Don't mind reading that.
Okay.
Okay.
It is written, sit in silence. Go into darkness, queen city of the Babylonians. No more will you be called queen of kingdoms. I was angry with my people and desecrated my inheritance. I gave them into your hand, and you showed them no mercy. Even on the aged, you laid a very heavy yoke. You said, I am forever the eternal queen. But you did not consider these things or reflect on what might happen. Ooh.
Okay.
Am I reading the wrong thing?
I thought so. Yeah.
Oh, I am. I'm sorry. I'm at 47.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's what I'm like.
Please forgive me.
That's
oh,
okay.
Boy.
That's okay.
Okay, it is written, remember this, keep it in mind. Take it to heart, you rebels. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east, I summon a bird of prey. From a far-off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that I will bring about. What I have planned, that I will do. Amen.
Okay. Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm going to go ahead and read 5 through 8, where you had started from 8 down to 11. And this was not answered. Okay. It says, to whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Some people pour out their silver and gold and hire a craftsman to make a god from it. Then they bow down and worship it. They carry it around on their shoulders, and when they set it down, it stands there. It can't even move. And when someone prays to it, there's no answer. It can't rescue anyone from trouble. So that's what God is. Thank you. That's what God's comparing to these idols and everything. That, you know, the thing that's really puzzling about it is that something that God has made, you know, the elements of the earth, you know, the minerals and trees and whatever that they were using back in the days for their gods and everything. I mean, you kind of make you wonder, how did they ever got into that, you know? Pastor, could you show some light on that? How did they get into it?
I have one comment myself. Go ahead. I'm looking at the rest of the answer that the young lady read, and see, and I'm thinking, well, let's wait till we get to the next question. I'll talk to you. Go ahead.
Okay.
In case we get to the next question.
Okay, let's go to that. Okay, number 3. What's God not telling right now to them?
Okay, now, my answer, Ms. Johnson read part of it. Sister Johnson just read part of it. But see, I was under the impression number 3 was, what is God not telling them right now? And since he can tell the future, I went with 8, 9, and 10 on that one, because at some point he says something about, here it is. And number 10 is actually when he speaks of it. Do not forget this. I'm reading from 8 first. Do not forget this. Keep it in mind. Remember this, you guilty ones. Remember the things I have done in the past, for I alone am God. I am God, and there is no one like me. Only I can tell you the future before it even happens. So that's why I picked that one, because it says, what is it that God's not telling? God hasn't told him the future. That's what I got out of it.
Good answer. That is a good answer. I had 12 and 13. When it says like this, listen to me, you stubborn people, who are so far from doing right, for I am ready to set things right, not in the distant future, but right now. That's what I had down.
Okay, now I hear the right now. I can go with that, too.
Okay.
I didn't get anything. I skipped number 3 because it stumped me.
That's okay. We
all on the same team anyway.
We all on the same team, right. It's just like when the disciples had asked Jesus about the future, and he told them it wasn't for them to know.
Right.
At all. So God's repeating that. Go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, the question you was asking a while ago is a good one. How did they get into idolatry?
Right.
If we go backwards, we see that after the flood, Noah came across with his kids and they started to repopulate the earth. God picked Abraham's people, okay, to be the people who would introduce him to the rest of the people on earth. So when you see people worshiping like that, for instance, when Hernan Cortez saw the Aztecs, I was having this discussion earlier with the Lord. We were talking about pagan sacrifices and people, you know, how they deal with it. But anyway, they had what was called a blood sacrifice. They would go and capture a prince, a queen, princess from another tribe, and they would bring them back to their altar and slit them open and let their blood drain out and then toss them into the pit. This was to please their god. Well, when Hernan Cortez and the conquistadors hit South America, they ran right into the Aztecs, and after seeing them and their worship, they felt like they needed to destroy them, and they did. That's why the Aztecs are not here. All we have is what they left behind, you know, the relics, right? But the approach that Hernan Cortez should have taken is the one that we looked at when we were studying William Evans' book back at the Hall for Christian Doctrine. We were in the discussion on things like that, people claiming to worship God, doing things like that. But the conclusion we came to was that that was their crude, vulgar attempt at getting to know God. For instance, when Paul went to Athens, he saw that they had an altar erected to every god they could think of, and even one to the unknown god. He didn't get so offended that he wanted to kill all the Aztecs. What he did is made it a teaching opportunity to introduce them to the true and living God, to be God's spokesman, to argue on his behalf. As we've just read, the other idols could not object to anything Paul was saying because all Paul had to do was walk away. They couldn't follow him unless somebody put him on a guard or, you know what I mean? Paul could have egged them. And the people, of course, would have been scared to death that one of the gods were going to do something. But no, they can't do anything. All they can do is what people move them around to do on their behalf. Okay, so but when you see that, that's just people's crude attempt at knowing God. When I run into Muslims, they want to know God, and that's where they are. So I want to meet them right there and bring them out. And it's easy to get Muslims because Muhammad claims that he built his new religion based on the Hebrew Bible. So they're very familiar with that. All you have to do is do what Daniel did for Cyrus. Interpreted to him. All you have to do is what Philip did for the Ethiopian. He was seeking God. And Philip, the Ethiopian, had enough sense to say, well, how can I understand unless somebody explains it to me? And that's where we come in. So we can't become too disgusted with people's idol worship. What we need to do is what Paul did for the Lycaonians when they healed that man who couldn't walk, and then the Lycaonians thought they were gods, and Paul took that as an opportunity to teach them about the true and living God. And so, yeah, they want to know. It is in us, in every single human being on this planet, to want to know God, and God has put that in us, okay, to reach out for him. You know, it's those arguments, you know, cosmological, ontological, teleological, okay, remember those? People want to know God, and they're in one of those different positions. So we use those several arguments in favor of the existence of God to bring them from where they are to where they want to be, like we're discussing in Christian history, that the whole world was hungry for something new. And so here comes a brand new something, and that's Christianity. And so God does that. So, yeah, when we see Jehovah's Witnesses, they're easy to get to because they believe in the Bible. Well, you can use their Bible to lead them to Christ. That's the easiest way to do it. But, yeah, idol worship comes from man wanting to worship God. He recognizes that there is something or somebody over us. And those are their crude, sometimes like the Aztecs, vulgar attempts to know God. And what we have to do as Christians is see where they are, how far away from Christ they are, and then start right there and bring them toward Jesus like Paul did with the Athenians. Now, you know, like Paul, you're not going to get them all. Like Jesus and the rich young ruler, you're not going to get them all. But you can get them, okay? I'm going to read a footnote that I just got handed to me by other people who live in my house with me. They won't let me say their name, baby Holy Ghost. But here we go. Why did the people have these idols? This is 35:2, the footnote of Genesis. Why did the people have these idols? Idols were sometimes seen more as good luck charms than as gods. Some Israelites, even though they worshiped God, had idols in their homes, just as some Christians today own good luck trinkets. Okay, we know that Rachel stole her dad. Wait a minute, Holy Ghost, baby. Holy Ghost, here, you dropped this. Rachel stole her daddy gods. Why? Because she wanted to weaken him. She believed in Jacob's God. But she figured if she stole all his good luck charms, she'd have no luck in finding them. So, yeah, people, they try to worship God, and idols are their way of doing that.
Pastor, out of all the times I've heard the story about her taking those idols, I never knew what they were, or what she did until just now.
Oh, yeah, she tried to weaken her father, to hurt her father. So that tells you at some depth in her, she believed them things were something. She didn't quite know what they were, but she believed in Jacob's gods because over all that happened, she saw Jacob's God bless, 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 bless. Even
right.
She had some kids. So she figured if she took those, he'd be hurt. But then when Jacob knew that some of those people had their little trinkets that they brought with them before they went to Shiloh, he said, now, look, if you got any of that crap, get rid of it. Okay? Because I'm pretty sure he may have known his wife had that stuff, but at any rate, he wanted them to get rid of all the foreign gods among you because we can't roll with them and him. So we shouldn't become disgusted when we run across people who have funny kind of beliefs about God. We should listen to them carefully to see right where they are and then start working right there to bring them toward Christ, to a right understanding about Christ. That's why God wants us to be people who can rightly divide the word of truth.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
All right.
A lot of times you say stuff, I wish I had a recording.
like Crystal say, all these shows are recorded and archived,
well, okay,
and the best thing is they're free.
Okay, you got me on that one. Yes.
Okay, question number 4.
Yes, sir.
What is starting to happen to Babylon?
I have 47. I have 1-3.
I got 1-3. Anybody else?
I have 1, so.
Okay. See, that's how I am. I just go straight to the point. But you'll find out as the period of time goes on, there are certain people that's going to give you an answer that's going to be so long, you almost read the whole chapter. But that's how they give you a complete answer. They give you a complete answer. But it reads 1-3.
Yes.
Come down, virgin daughter of Babylon, and sit in the dust, for your days of sitting on a throne have ended. O daughter of Babylonia, never again will you be the lovely princess, tender and delicate. take heavy millstone and grind flour. Remove your veil and strip off your robe. Expose yourself to the public view. You will be naked and burdened with shame. I will take vengeance against you without pity.
Amen.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3. Right. Okay. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What
I'm gonna go ahead and read that. I say I'm gonna go ahead and read this footnote, 47:1, and it says right here. Here Isaiah predicted the fall of Babylon more than 150 years before it ever happened. At this time, Babylon had not yet emerged as the mightiest force on earth, the proud empire that would destroy Judea and Jerusalem. But the Babylonians, Judea's captors, okay, but the Babylonians, Judea's captors, will become captives themselves in 539 BC. God, not Babylon, as the ultimate power. He used Babylon to punish his simple people. He would make medieval Persia to destroy Babylon and set his people free. And free his people, excuse me. Okay, yeah. So as we go along in the we'll see scriptures quoted in Daniel and everything on how Babylon was taken over by media Persia as we go along in answering these questions. Any other answers? Any comments?
Not with me.
Okay, number 5, I got a typographical error. Instead of heart, it should have been hurt.
Oh.
Yeah, I forgot the H. I'm sorry. So I will give you the answer.
Yeah,
I
didn't answer that one because I didn't know. I don't know what this means.
All right, I skipped that one too.
Okay. Well, the hurt. Okay, let me go ahead and answer that for y'all. Okay. Okay. Oh, right here, I had all the advice.
Is it 48:14?
Yep.
But they are like straw burning in a fire. They cannot save themselves from the flame. You will get no help from them at all. Their hurt is no place to sit for warmth. Amen.
Amen.
Well, amen.
Okay. So family, what do you think that answer is explained?
Oh, man.
Look at those footnotes.
The people of Babylon sought advice and help from astrologers and stargazers. Okay, that's one of the problems right there. But the idols of wood or gold, astrologers could not even deliver themselves from what was to come from the hand of God. Why rely on those who are powerless? The helpless cannot help us. Alternatives to God are destined to fall. If you want help, find it in God, who has proven his power in creation and in history. Amen.
Right. Amen.
But they are like straw burning in the fire. They cannot save themselves from the flame. You will get no help from them at all. Their hurt is no place to sit for them.
Now check this out. I mean, they're talking about astrologers and stargazers. Picture yourself back in the 70s. Most of y'all, if y'all the same age as me, when zodiacal sign was the thing back in the day. You were compatible with this sign and that sign and everything like that.
Yeah.
But the main thing is that we know as Christians that I hear somebody laughing in the background. You know that. That was the main thing.
I started thinking about that singing group, The Floaters. I'm Larry instead of Sign. That's
why
I'm not
very funny.
But you know what? Regardless of what zodiac sign you are and everything, which doesn't make no significant meaning at all, is that if you're not a person of God, a child of God, put it that way, a child of God, whoever zodiac sign you got with or anybody, if they're not the right one, guess what? They're not the right one. So I'm looking at this.
In astrology or luck.
What's that?
I don't believe in astrology or luck.
No.
Agree.
No.
There is no luck.
There's no luck. God
right,
can control it.
And that book, Purpose Driven, taught me that. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
That's right.
Yeah, good or bad.
That's it. And we got to take the good with the what?
With the bad. Sweet and sour,
right.
All that together.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. Let me say something to you. I need a different explanation on that verse 14 because I'm totally lost. I won't lie to you. I didn't pick nothing up out of that.
It's simple. Picture this. You have this God that you've created, and the God just happened to be created out of some of the best wood on earth. Okay, even smell good. Cherry wood, right? Look good, smell good, right? You got
right.
Your little temple that you made for your God, right? The temple is made out of the best materials you could find on earth. It's just awesome, right? Okay, you go home, you go to bed after worshiping your God, and somebody come tell you your little temple is on fire. And your God is in there burning up. He can't get out. So that's the point he's making. That they can't even help themselves. If they were on fire, they couldn't put themselves out. And so he is saying your astrologers, your stargazers, your soothsayers, whatever it is, your magical charms, whatever they are, they're worthless to you. I am your help is what God is saying. For instance, remember when Israel tried to use the Ark of the Covenant of God under Saul as a good luck charm, and they went to fight thinking it was going to make them win, but it got captured. Well, God didn't need Israel to come get it back, because when they put him inside the temple of Dagon, when they woke up in the morning, Dagon was on the ground. They set Dagon back up, and the next day they came in there, they couldn't put him back up because this time Jesus beat the crap out of him. He couldn't be put back up. So that I'm not saying that the Ark of the Covenant of God is an idol to be worshipped, but it was what God gave them to keep the word of God in, to keep some of that manna in, to keep Aaron's rod in that bud, right?
That's
what was in there. And it could defend itself. And what?
Didn't they have a staff in there as well?
Yeah, Aaron's staff that budded to prove that he was the one that God had picked and not the others. Okay. But it made them deliver it back to Israel without the Israelites doing anything.
Right.
God protected his own stuff. And they hitched that thing to a cart with a whole bunch of gold and silver and stuff and sent it right back to Israel, because everywhere they took it, it tore everything up all by itself. But these idols, they're not like that. They don't belong to the true and living God. They're not an image of anything that is real. So even if they caught on fire, it couldn't save itself from the fire. It couldn't put the fire out. Okay, and as far as the stargazers who are talking about what's going to happen, the Lord says, let them stand up and save you from what the future holds. If you tell me in 3 days all the trees in this area is going to be burnt down, stop them from being burnt down. Don't just anybody can tell me that's going to happen. Can you stop it from happening? The Lord can predict a future like he did for Hezekiah. Get your house in order, you're going to die, right? And the Lord can mm-hmm. make that happen, right? Or the Lord can make it not happen like he did. But they can't do that. It's, you know, so we shouldn't be involved in astrology either. It's really not even a game, and it's nowhere near innocent. There's God, there's Satan. Satan runs all the rest of that garbage. God gave us his word. My word will be a lamp and a light, right?
Right.
We don't need to go to anybody trying to get God's word. Just open up your Bible and read it. But when we get into that other stuff, we might think it's innocent, and we see people on Facebook claiming they astrological connection to whatever sign, but that's not innocent stuff. We see that girl that Paul had to deal with in Philippi. She was mm-hmm. one of these people, but she was able to do what she did because she was possessed with a demon. Even Saul had enough sense to banish all the witches from Israel, but yet when he got desperate, he went straight to a witch at Endor.
Mm-hmm.
And no, that witch did not cause Samuel to come back. That witch was just scared to death when Samuel popped up because she knew she was faking, couldn't do nothing like that. And whatever she did by the power of Satan, just like Jannes and Jambres who opposed Moses. Moses threw his staff down, and they became a snake. They threw theirs down, and they became snakes too. But the difference was God was with Moses, and his snake ate theirs. And then Moses grabbed the snake, and it turned back into a staff. So there's a huge difference. Satan can do some stuff, and he's really going to be turning up in the seven-year tribulation period, especially the last 3 years. He's really going to be turning up and making people believe because they see miracles. Huh?
You saying Satan going to turn up?
Satan, the devil, he's going to be really turning up in through the Antichrist in the tribulation period. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You read chapter 13, he's going to call down fire from heaven.
What if you find yourself still here after the rapture? What should you do?
Well, get real, because apparently while you were here, you didn't really believe in Jesus, and so you got left behind. But if you really believe in Jesus and he's your Lord and Savior, you will not be left behind because Jesus knows you belong to him. One of the movies I saw, I think it was the Left Behind series. All those people, by the way, were church-related, but they got left behind. There was a preacher who was left behind. People who were married to Christians got left behind. I have this other movie called Revelation, where this girl's grandmother used to try to get her into church and try to get her to believe in Jesus. She just couldn't do it, and neither would her boyfriend. They both got left behind. So if you find yourself left behind, you will instantly know it. Accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then know that those will be the seven roughest years this earth has ever seen. The Bible literally says that the Lord didn't shorten those years. I think that's in the Philadelphia church, that no flesh would survive. And so for the elect's sake, that means for the people who will accept Christ during the tribulation period, he's going to shorten that time or nobody would be saved. And so people will get saved during that time. But it's going to be the worst time in human history to get saved and be a Christian. Because the Antichrist during the last 3.5 years, if you don't take the mark, you don't eat, you don't buy. So that means you starve to death. And that's what brings to pass what Jesus said in Matthew 25. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. I know we like to use that for these days and times, but it's actually a part of an eschatological conversation. And so that's talking about the end times. Wow, how we get way over here.
That's all right.
But that's all right, though. So, yeah, if you wake up and you recognize, you will know the rapture happened. Everybody on earth will know it happened because it'll be complete and utter disaster everywhere instantly. And the moment Jesus takes the church out, whatever we're to think about what you're doing right now and what people are doing all over the planet who are saved. And then imagine them just disappearing before they turn off the stove, disappearing before, you know, your house is just left the way it is. If you're in the car right now, well, Jesus won't tell you, okay, you might want to pull over to the side and stop. I'm finna rapture y'all. You'll just get raptured and your car going 70 or whatever will just fly somewhere. Airplanes, they're going somewhere. Military jets, they're going somewhere. Ships, military ships out to sea like the one I was on, they're going somewhere. And if there's nobody driving it and it's loaded up with bombs, there's going to be disaster. Those 250-mile-an-hour bullet trains, they're going somewhere when the engineer get raptured. So imagine the devastation that's going to take place just from the rapture itself. So imagine what day one is going to be like of the tribulation period. It'll be like a day that has never, ever happened on earth. And they'll be without power, without water, instantly. And it's going to stay like that and only get worse for 7 years.
Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you, Pastor, again.
You are welcome.
Okay. All right. Moving right along. Question number seven. What things will happen to Babylon?
I have 47. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I'd rather if you go, Deacon Eric.
I love when you say that. 47. I have 5 through 7.
All right. Ding, ding. 5 through 7.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, beautiful Babylon, sit now in darkness and silence. Never again will you be known as the Queen of Kingdoms, for I was angry with my chosen people and punished them by letting them fall into your hands. But you, Babylon, showed them no mercy. You oppressed even the elderly. You said, I will reign forever as Queen of the world. You did not reflect on your actions or think about their consequences. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All righty.
What answer did you have, sister?
I had 8 through 11 and a question next to 3. So I didn't have the answer. I guessed.
Okay.
8 through 11. Okay. Maybe you were calling some here and said, I don't know. It's almost same like it. Yeah, I like that. I would never be able to lose that shit without both.
Okay.
We're gonna
do a follow up question after 7. Number 8 states, how does evil arise upon Babylon?
Now that one is tricky to me.
Is that 47:10? I wasn't sure on that one either.
Wait, what was the question again?
How does evil arise upon Babylon?
How does evil arise? Oh, 8? Okay, I don't know. This is what I had. I had, like what Pastor O was just talking about, verses 14 through, I had 14 through 16. Wait a minute, 16? 14 and 15. Oh, what do I have?
Was it like a combination of verses throughout the chapter?
Right.
Because that's what I was like, because it was, I don't know if I was thinking or not, it seems like it was a combination of verses.
Okay.
Yes, it was. Would you give us your answer?
Let's hear you, young lady, and good evening to you.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So, before I get going, because it was like this, I don't know, it was different. It was just different things. I just read, I didn't put anything specific. It was just reading because it was talking about, you know, it was talking about their behavior, like, I don't know. This, you want me to, okay, you, what do you want me to read, and I'll just read it? I didn't have anything specific.
Okay. Well, I started off with
number 11 do sound good, though, starting at 11.
11 is a very strong answer, right? And I had,
right.
I had 10 and 11, but 11 is a very strong answer.
I had 10, but I didn't know, right. So 10, you felt 47, 10, right?
Yeah.
And 11.
Mm-hmm. And 11. So it says, you felt secure in your wickedness. No one sees me, you said, but your wisdom and knowledge have led you astray. And you said, I am the only one, and there is no other. So disaster will overtake you, and you won't be able to charm it away, and you won't be able to buy your way out. The catastrophe will strike you suddenly, one for which you are not prepared.
Amen.
Yeah. Now, see, I like 11 better out of all of it. 11 sounds more so because it's telling you. Well, no, 10 is also as well because the B part of verse 10, what it says, but your wisdom and knowledge have led you astray. And you said, I am the only one, and there is no other. So that right there is giving you a problem like you above him. So like you say, so disaster will overtake you. Now, that's what I got out of those two verses.
Right. Okay. Then 12 also says, like, even with your magical charm, you know, it says your spells, you know, haven't worked, you know, all these years. Maybe they will do some good. So it's saying you have been doing evil because magic really doesn't exist, but something may come good out of it. That's why I said, I don't know. It kind of, I couldn't find anything specific. It was just like a lot of different combinations of verses for me.
I would say 11 out of all of them, 11.
Okay.
I mean, that's just me. I'm not, this is a Professor Welch's class.
I'm right yeah. with both of y'all from 10 to 12.
It looks more explanatory.
But 11 is the root answer. But 12 goes along with it too because, you know, they're into that magic stuff and all that, you know. And there's no such thing as magic at all.
You dig?
That's it. You dig? Yeah.
Wow.
All right. All right. Are there any more answers or any more comments before we go to the next question?
No, sir.
All right. Question number 9. How is God describing his people as obeying?
Now, see, I'm in the next chapter, 48, and now I might be early out of order.
Yeah.
I'm out of order?
No, I'm agreeing 48. I'm seeing how deep, because I went deep. So where did you start at?
I started at 17 through 19. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is good for you and leads you along the paths you should follow. oh, that you had listened to my commands. Then you would have had peace flowing like a gentle river and righteousness rolling over you like waves in the sea. What's the other one? Your descendants would have been like the sands along the seashore, too many to count. There would have been no need for your destruction for cutting off your family name. Now, why I got that, don't ask me, because I really don't know myself now.
I agree with that answer. Is that right?
I'm just saying, but I'm just saying, I don't know how I got that answer. But that's what I had, 17 through 19.
Okay. And that was a good answer. Yes, yes, good. So anyway, so do you think that relate to us?
Well, from what I read, it's something like, oh, well, hold it. Do the,
yes.
It's self-explanatory if you read the footnote.
Yeah, okay. That's what I'm going to say. The footnote, yeah, makes it be like us.
Mm-hmm. Would someone read the footnotes for me, please?
Like a living parent, God teaches and guides us. We should listen to him because peace and righteousness comes to us as we obey his word. Refusing to pay attention to God's commands invites punishment and threatens that peace and righteousness.
Yeah. Question, has that ever happened to you?
Yeah, all the time.
Absolutely.
All right, well, there's a lesson to be learned always. Always, that's what happens. And, you know, in these Old Testament times and everything like that, people who had money and power, just like today and everything like that, they seem like they know of God, but they don't know God. And same with us, you know. Some of us, we know of God, but we really don't know of God. And if we don't follow his instructions, orders, or his word, that we have a tendency to fall backwards. So, but as you see, Babylon is just very arrogant, you know, very arrogant. Any comments? Anything else you want to add on?
But wasn't Babylon very powerful at that time?
Yes, they were. One of them.
Yeah, because I'm thinking if you're powerful, you're going to be here because you think you can.
I would say out of all that Christian history, out of all the ones that were that always jumped on Israel, I would have to say Romans were probably the most strictest out of all of them.
I can live with that.
Yeah, Rome was out cold. Anyway.
Yep.
Okay.
Right here. Let's see it again now.
Okay. Any other comments? Any other answers? Okay, moving to number 10. How was Israel causing God to hold back his anger? And what is on the line?
Is it 48:9-11?
All right. Go ahead, sister.
Okay, it is written, for my own name's sake, I delay my wrath. For the sake of my praise, I hold it back from you, so as not to destroy you completely. See, I have refined you, though not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I do this. How can I let myself be defamed? I will not yield my glory to another. Amen.
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 I will not reel my glory to another. If it ain't to God, won't nobody else get it.
That's right. And the footnotes on the 9-11 says, and footnotes on 9-11 says, there's nothing in the people's actions, attitudes, or compliments to compel God to love and to save them, but for his own sake to show who he is and what he can do, he saved them. God does not save us because we are good, but because he loves us and because of his forgiving nature.
Thank you for that, Lord. Yes.
Yes.
How about that?
Isn't that good to know?
Say that again,
really
please.
Good to know.
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry.
Good to know. Absolutely.
Yes.
You know, I was talking to some people at work and everything, and we were talking about marriage and love and everything like that. And I told my working partners, I said, marriage is a good thing. I said, but, you know, in order for it to really, really work for you, you have to put God in.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got two different individuals, which our love is different from God's love, because God allows us to sin every day, even though we don't try to sin, but we have a sinful nature. So we probably do it unconsciously just because we have a sinful nature. Anyway, getting to the point where I said, if you got God's love, his love will help you enhance your love for your spouse as time goes by. But it takes time. But if you're both Christians and go by God's word and everything, your marriage will be very comfortable. Very comfortable. And relaxed.
One thing, bro, you first gotta love yourself in order to love somebody else.
Oh, true that. Go ahead, say that.
Yeah. Because, see, a lot of people just try and love other people because they want to be in their presence. But they don't even have the love for themselves, you know. So that's an indirect issue on its own. Yeah, how can you love somebody and you don't even love yourself? Hey, you don't even know how to just, you may not even know how to demonstrate love because you may not have been shown love as growing up or even as with a mate. Yeah, so love plays a major part in anything. That'll give you that goodness within you. And you know that comes from the Lord, so.
Yeah. You know, I like the last part. It says, God saves us not because we're good, but because he loves us. And he has a forgiving nature.
Well, he can tell you that already. You know that already with that John 3:16. That tell you that.
Yes, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Amen.
Wow.
All right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Moving right along. Okay.
Number 11.
We're on question 10, aren't we?
Oh, 10?
Yeah. Are we on 10?
No.
I think we just did 10.
Yeah. Oh, we just did 10? Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I'm looking on my computer. Okay, number 11. How does God proclaim himself as himself?
Wow, now this one, I'm going to see what y'all got. I got one, but I'm going to see.
No, well, we won't get out everybody.
Well, I got 1 through 3.
Okay.
What chapter?
What chapter is that?
Chapter 49, 1 through 3.
Okay.
Oh, well, then mine must be wrong.
No. I don't have no PhD in this stuff at all. That's that guy that's sitting on the other end that's real quiet. He got a PhD in all of this.
Well, I'm
the special ed student.
No, I don't believe that at all.
What answer do you have, sister?
I put 48-12, but I have no confidence in that answer.
Well, you know, I have confidence in it because I got 12 and 13.
Okay,
oh,
see, I'm
okay.
Okay. And
okay.
Would you read that for us, 12 and 13, please?
Sure, it is written. Listen to me, Jacob, Israel, whom I have called. I am he. I am the first and I am the last. My own hand laid the foundations of the earth and my right hand spread out the heavens.
Yes.
When I summon them, they all stand up together. Amen.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You are so right. Yes.
Okay. All righty.
And you're talking about you ain't got, you don't have no confidence. You're getting a bad grade
today. That's a $1 million answer right there.
Yeah, yeah. You mess around and cheat and get my answer, you've been in bad shape.
All right. Thank you for that answer. Any comments?
No.
Okay.
Not me.
Okay, number 12. Who is the servant? And how it pertains to Israel.
Okay, now this one, I got 4 through 6 on 49.
Okay,
okay.
I put 5 through 7.
I got 3 through 6. So let's go 3 through 7.
All right.
Maybe you're going to get them all.
He said to me,
you are my
servant Israel. He said to me, you are my servant, Israel, and you will bring me glory. I reply, but my work seems so useless. I have spent my strength for nothing and to no purpose. Yes, I leave it all in the Lord's hands. I will trust God for my reward. And now the Lord speaks. The one who formed me in my mother's womb to be his servant, who commissioned me to bring Israel back to him. The Lord has honored me, and my God has given me strength. He says, you will do no more than restore the people of Israel to me. No, I'm sorry. He says, you will do more than restore the people of Israel to me. I will make you a light to the Gentiles, and you will bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. The Lord, the Redeemer of the Holy One of Israel, says to the one who is despised and rejected by the nations, to the one who is a servant of the rulers, kings will stand at attention when you pass by. Princes will also bow low because of the Lord, a faithful one, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. Amen. Now, what was the question?
Amen.
How did God pertain to that? Who is this? Okay, okay. And what does it pertain to Israel? Okay. All right.
Anybody like to break down those footnotes 49, 1 through 7?
First, I think we should read it. Before
yeah.
the servant, the Messiah was born. God has chosen him to bring the light of the gospel, the message of salvation, to the world. See Acts chapter 13, verse 47. Christ offered salvation to all the nations, and his apostles began the ministry. Nope. I'm sorry. Christ offered salvation to all nations, and his apostles began the missionary movement to take gospel. So to take this gospel to the ends of the earth. Missionary work today continues. Jesus' Great Commission, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Taking the light of the gospel to all the nations. Do you support evangelism and missionary efforts with your money? Do you have talent or other resources to help spread the message of Christ? God wants you to be involved. How can you help? So this is saying, what can we do to be part of that? make things happen. What is a servant and how does it pertain to Israel?
So basically, what we were talking about, what the scripture was talking about there is talking about Christ coming forth. Am I right about that, Pastor?
Oh, the Lord, the Holy Redeemer, and not a Lord speaks in the Holy Form. To
say what? Make that statement again.
I say, I was saying that we did answers 1 through 7 of the footnotes, and our answer was, where we at? Our answer was 12 and
2. 12 on chapter, we was on chapter 49, verses 3 through 7.
3 through 7, yeah. Who is the servant?
49, 3 through 7.
Oh, the fourth,
right.
Oh, yeah. Listen, you distant lands and all of that stuff, hear my servant. Okay, you know, that couldn't be anybody but Jesus Christ, right?
Right.
Yeah, we got that part, yeah.
Right, and he is the servant. He is the one who is to come. And Isaiah talks about him coming, and then Isaiah talks about him leaving, having done what he came to do. So he's coming, okay, and he will do what he is supposed to do.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
You are welcome.
All righty. Number 13. What verses state the Lord's character?
Okay. Chapter 50, verses 4 through 6.
Okay, chapter 50. 4 through 6. Okay. Let's see. Okay, let's see.
Yeah.
This is what he kind of went through when they was mocking him and messing with him. Well, anyway, let's go ahead. Wait, I'm going to listen to y'all first.
Okay. What do you have, my sister?
I'm no man that right. I know
don't
man
be that
right. I know it's not right because I couldn't really. I was trying to see what it was character, and it was just like I was just finding where they just said, like when you just did part of 49, you included 7, but it was saying the Lord, He's the Redeemer, He and the Holy One of Israel. Say to the one who is despised and rejected by the nations, to the one who is a servant of rulers, kings will stand at attention when you pass by. Princes will also bow low because of the Lord, the faithful one, the holy one of Israel, who has chosen you. I don't know. That's talking about the nation, but that ain't him, so I don't know.
And what you got, Deacon Reed? What did you have?
I have 4 through 6, sir.
4 through 6, 50. 4 through 6.
Yes.
Okay.
The Lord.
Would you read that for
us?
The sovereign Lord has given me His words of wisdom, so that I know him to comfort women, so that I know how to comfort the weary. Morning by morning, he wakens me and opens my understanding to his will. The sovereign Lord has spoken to me, and I have listened. I have not rebelled or turned away. I offer my back to those who beat me and my cheeks to those who pull my beard, and I did not hide my face from mockery and spitting. Now, I chose those because it gave an explanation what verses describe the Lord's character. For him to be able to stand there and take all these things and deal with all that he was doing, he had to have one heck of a character to me. But
you're right.
Let's see what God says.
You're right. I got it.
Pardon?
Add on number six. Oh, you did, didn't you?
Yeah, I had four through
yeah.
six.
Okay, all right. Good. That's what I had. I had two to six. But that's okay.
Why was no one there when I killed you? Why didn't you?
Yeah, well, I was trying to give a full explanation. But that right there, four through six, is a very strong answer right there.
Okay.
I misunderstood that because I thought that those verses were explaining
about
the character of Isaiah.
Right. Yeah.
So I misunderstood.
Oh, say that again, please.
I thought those verses were explaining the character of Isaiah, but I must have misunderstood that.
Because it's titled verses 4 all the way down to 11. It's called the Lord's Obedient Servant.
But it says, the servant, hold it, the servant Lord, the sovereign Lord has spoken to me, and I have listened. I have not rebelled or turned away. But see, the Lord was telling Isaiah, he offered his back to those who beat him and his cheeks to those who pulled out his beard. And I did not hide my face from the mockery and the spitting. So he stood there and took whatever they did to him.
Okay, so we're not, I thought we were specifically.
Verse 5 says,
No, I thought we were specifically saying about the Lord's character. Are we talking, now we're not talking about, that's what confused me.
But that's what I'm saying. It is the Lord. He said the Lord has told him, he was telling Isaiah his character, what he did.
Right.
How he stood there,
oh,
he took the food.
Okay.
They
okay.
filled his beard. Okay.
Okay.
I get what you're saying.
I
mean, okay, but I don't know. We might need to consult with the pastor. I could be dead wrong, but that's my perception of it.
I get it.
Is it also?
Go ahead, Ms. Johnson.
Now I'm seeing the Savior in them verses too, so I'm being enlightened. That's all.
So the question is, what
okay.
is the question?
What verse describes the Lord's character?
Wouldn't that be verse 7 and 49?
Verse 7 and 49. The Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says to the one who is now rejected by the nations, the one on the servant of Israel, kings will stand at attention. Somebody said that, didn't they? I think that's what
you,
Sister Collins, said, didn't she?
What?
Verse 7.
I mean, if you're talking about the Lord's character, I mean,
that's what I was his character, right?
Yeah, right, that's what
right.
she said. She didn't say that. She said that. Okay, but see, now look at verses. Not saying I have to be right. I'm just saying, look at chapter 50, verses 5 and 6. Well, it's 4, 5, and 6.
Right, that's the Lord's obedient servant. let's look at that real quick.
Verse 5 and 6 is really
yeah.
what I'm speaking
of. Let me read you
the
some
servant.
Footnotes.
Okay.
Although there is no explicit reference to the servant here, there are many links with the other songs as well. The divine title, the Sovereign Lord, also binds the third song together, occurring in 4 or 6 verses. This is a contrast with a response to God's word. The second song stressed the penetrating power of the word that the servant transmit, while this one shows the pastoral effectiveness. God's servant waits on God in the morning, to watch the word that speaks, that comes from God who sent him.
Okay.
Israel is rebellious, but God's servant is responsive, even when a destiny of suffering and shame is subject of God's word to him. He does not draw back, but offers his body to be to the tormentors. A combination of pain and shame introduces the servant's conviction that this disgrace must yield to a glorious vindication. His face, cruelly assaulted, will not flinch before suffering. Even in this, however, though the individualization reaches a high point, we are reminded of the picture of afflicted Israel in the servant is the innocent sufferer part imminent. So this is talking about, that's two things. This is not talking about Jesus, literally the servant of the Lord, and how he stands up under pressure over there in 49 and 7. It's talking about the Lord. So I don't know which one it is.
Yeah, that's what I thought, 49:7, because it describes how people, you know, that's what I thought, but, you know.
That's one of the, Dr. O, you're always working with Reese's family.
I knew that was going to come out. I knew that.
It ain't Reese, it's you. Bro, Oliver, stay by my side, brother.
I'm by your side, man.
Okay.
That's what I was going by. As
I just want to answer 49:7. That does give a good description of the Lord, for sure.
Yes, it does.
I take 49:7. I thank y'all for that, so I can correct myself, which
okay.
I'm doing now.
Right now, me too.
Yeah,
but I had your answer about pulling on his cheeks and everything. All right, so we'll go 49:7 for that answer.
Okay.
Thank you, Pastor, clearing that up.
Oh, well, you know, to me it could be the one of them. 49 starts at 1 and goes to 7, and that's talking about it's talking about Jesus. Okay, right. That's about him. Then it's Israel's restoration, and then when you get to 50, it starts the Lord's obedient servant.
Right.
And right. So you know, there you go. Win-win.
Okay. Either or. Okay. Are there any more comments, answers? Okay. Last question of the evening, number 14. What explains about the Lord's listening to his own?
I didn't get this one. 8 and 9. He who gives me justice is near. Who would dare to bring charges against me now? Where are my accusers? Let them appear. See, the sovereign Lord is on my side. Who will declare me guilty? All my enemies will be destroyed like old clothes that have been eaten by moths. Well,
amen.
Well.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
8 and 9.
Okay, here's my comment. I found these questions to be very difficult.
It made you think. You had to read it a couple of times.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. As I said, I had to go back and forth and read it. It was like a lot of stuff. I was like, question mark. I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, but, you know, it's...
That's what it's about. It's making us read and
think.
Yeah, it
makes us research and everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Agreed.
Yep. Okay.
Well, are there any more? Any other answers or comments?
No, sir.
Okay. Well, you know I'll be coming up again later on down the line. So, anyway, I look forward to questions like that from me in the future and everything like that.
I'm considering that a warning.
I was put on my thinking cap.
Yes. Yeah, well, you know, believe me, I was going back and forth on this too and everything and reading it too because there was just quite a bit of information that made you go one way and made you go the other way. You know, and like I said, I'm glad that Pastor could definitely give us some insight on some of these answers here so we'll know, you know.
Right.
Again, I thank you, Pastor. Definitely.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Not a problem.
Okay. Well, before we close out with prayer, Pastor, we're going to send it over to you. You've got some announcements or any engagements coming up for us?
Yes, indeed. Deacon Charles Mackey is next up with chapters 51 through 60. And following him will be Deacon Eric Reeds back in the roster.
Righty, yeah.
66. Okay, so he'll be on 60 through 66. He'll close the book out. Okay, but Mackey is up for the next 2 weeks and followed by Deacon Reed. And then this Saturday, Pastor Jonathan Tate will be preaching. Looks like we update on what's going on at the church. Roto-Rooter has been over there for a couple of days, as well as DTE. So they're working to get all of that water cleaned out, and I imagine ServPro is going to come through and do the cleanup. And when I get some more information about when we'll get back into the building, I'll let you know. But it looks like this Sunday we will be back on Blog Talk Radio unless I get a call and hear something different. And again, if I do, I'll definitely let you know. But right now it looks like we're going to be on Blog Talk Radio. Deacon Charles Tate will be up for Sunday school this Sunday. He'll be the teacher. Amen. And we may be, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn may do her show this Friday, Bring Back the Family, at 7 p.m. Okay?
Okay.
Bring Back the Family at 7 p.m. this Friday with Deaconess Kathy Clyburn. You know, that's an awesome show, the work they're doing over there to help all of these kids. And them kids got together and gave me a Christmas birthday card and put money in it. Quarters and birthday and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah, she got them kids. And I got a chance to thank all of them. And now I'm looking forward to doing something for them. You know, try to finance a little outing for them. Help Kathy out. Okay.
But
so,
I'm gonna pass out. What verses you say? What chapters you say I have?
60 through 66.
Okay.
I mean 61 through 66.
Okay.
And don't be trying to kill us, Eric.
Y'all know I'm gonna make it win. You know I'm gonna make it win. You know, especially as people, we ain't that smart. We gonna have to say plain, close questions. I ain't got no best.
Oh,
and don't forget to read chapter 3. I read it the other day, and I did the questions. Did I find any faux pas in here? I might have found one, but if you find it, you know, I think I found one, okay? But other than that, read chapter 3, the book, The Church That Jesus Built, for our class on Monday. We'll be going from AD 300 to AD 476, the fall of the Roman Empire. I heard Deacon Oliver Wells talking about Rome was about the worst of all of the people who Israel was under, and he is right about that. And the Lord is going to have enough of Rome, and they're going to disintegrate, and the church will be left standing. How many of you have heard of Attila the Hun?
Right. Well,
he's going to come up in this lesson. Yes, and he was something else. They called him, he was so bad, they called him the Scourge of God. But he's going to have a face down with Pope Leo. And we'll see how that comes out. So it's some exciting reading, you know. Again, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to email me your question. I'll answer it and get it back to you, okay? Well, if you're reading through, see something you don't understand or something you want to know a little bit more about, just email me, and I will get the answer right back to you. Don't text me because I have a flip phone. And it'll take me a month to text you back. So if you want to wait a month for your answer, and then have a bunch of funny, all small caps. please don't put me through that. No, send me an email. I'm old school. Hey, man, go to rfcm.org, click contact. Go to pastorgmo.com, click contact. Okay, and there you go. All right, I guess I'm through. I don't see all baby right. Holy Ghost running in here, so I must be through. All right.
Okay. All right. Well, let us pray and close that email.
Before we do that, keep my sister, Mother Cheryl Hamilton and her husband Tyrone, keep them in prayer, okay? Both of them. They need prayer.
All right. Be sure we'll pass.
Yeah. And Nico.
Oh, yeah, Nico. Sheila was talking with her yesterday. Keep Nico in prayer. She's definitely needs prayer.
Okay.
You sure will. Okay, well, let me pray us out for this evening. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this evening. We had a blast learning your word and everything and how things was interpreted to Isaiah, to where he put this on paper for us to read God's word. Father, we just thank you for all you've done for us, all that you're doing for us, Father, and all that you will do for us, Father, in the future.
Right.
If we follow your word, we just thank you so much for the things that you do for us. Most of all, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, that made it possible that we can come to your throne and ask for your forgiveness through your Son, Father. So we just thank you, Father, for this evening and for everyone listening and commenting and everything. We just thank you so much, Father. In your Son's name, Jesus Christ, pray. Let the church say what?
Amen.
All
right. Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you. Everybody have a good one.
Thank you, Deacon Oliver. Appreciate your sacrifice. Tell Lolo we said what's up.
Okay. I sure will. She just came in. She just came in from work, so she's lying down. She's a little tired.
A little tired, not tired.
Tired.
Tired. All right, y'all be blessed. Everybody have a good evening.
All right.
Pray to the Most High. Glory Yeshua, you are the ruler, it's in you that my hope lies. Faux God, no lie, no fight, I don't play both sides. Been so down with the windows down, truth music blowing out the whip so loud, you repent when I roll by. Got over money, my click if you with it, I know when you ride out. The whole world finna die out, why high now, fourth down in the fourth, no timeout. Not in no upper room, do what you come to do, we ain't gon' hide out. Ain't here to punish you, Jesus is coming soon. Hate it or love it, one day you gon' find out. Atheist saying, well, the only reason you with him cause you afraid of hell. But I believe that hell was 100% real. When I was still about here chasing mail, straight raising hell. Appearing to be real, but literally fake. I sit with a cheat meal, pretending to eat fake. I live with a cheat meal, pretending to be great. Till everything breaks.
Never been to the top, but I seen the bottom. Well, at least I seen what I think is bottom. But we all believe that we done seen it all until we meet somebody from beneath the bottom. And the things we wind up about daily, they don't even see us problems. Honestly, with all I've been seeing, it's kinda hard not to think that we the problem. Hold up. Wait, let it breathe. Hold up. Wait, let it breathe. Hold up. Wait, let it breathe. Hold up. Wait, okay.
If you're running on the air, if you know, say you win it. Here's crazy, so we not take no time. We against the world, no, we not even football. Surrender to the Lord, no, we not bust no time.
Hey, we roll for the G-O to the D, the elite folk know not to play. It could be cold for the days of complete snow touch here to get hot today. If I wasn't trying to be cool, these MCs be food on top my plate. But that's not my plate, so I'ma get back in my zone. Try to love them through the crap they be on. I know, the dealer and the fiend both need Jesus. But it's so dang hard, now when they selling that crack to my folks. Trying to get them back in that hope, feeling like I'm in this battle alone. Shout out to the cats that are actively out here combating this madness. After what matters the most.
Yeah.
Hold up. Wait, let it breathe. Hold up. Wait, let it breathe. Hold up. Wait, let it breathe. Hold up. Wait, okay.